Innovation can be hard to define, especially in something as stodgy as the federal government. But you know it when you see it. A study sponsored by the IBM Center for the Business of Government finds lots of obstacles to innovation in federal agencies, but also lots of successes. Greg Dawson is senior faculty associate in the School for Public Affairs at Arizona State. Jim Denford heads the Management and Economics Department at the Royal Military College of Canada. They did the research and authored the report. I asked them to define innovation. You hear Dawson first.
We actually ask people to define innovation because we know innovation means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. We're talking about it in the same way that Barry West, formerly of the FDIC, used to talk about it as breaking the mold on current trends to be more efficient and effective. So fundamentally looking at the way business is done and asking a very simple question, can it be done better?
Okay, and one of the challenges you found to it I found intriguing, given all of the talk from the administration about innovation over the last 7 or 8 years, and that is a lack of buy-in by key players. Explain what that's all about.
Yeah, it's, you know, in the United States, we've got this real romanticized view of what innovation is. And there's an expectation that everybody in government is going to be innovative. You know, but what we saw in the course of doing our research is that there's a lot of lip service to innovation. Everybody knows that innovation is good and is a good thing. But frankly, in a lot of cases, we're not seeing the right people engaged in it. So while people may espouse the value of innovation, they're not really, they're talking the talk, but they're not necessarily walking the walk.
And before we go too much further, let's get an idea of who did you speak to in relation to this study? What was your source?
We spoke to a wide number of eight individuals and agencies. Dr. David Bray from the Federal Communication Commission, Amy Northcutt from the National Science Foundation, Doreen Andrews, formerly of Peace Corps, Department of the Army, Department of the Interior, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, White House Presidential Innovation Fellows, and a number of CIOs who've actually been with multiple agencies.
Okay, and so I wanted to discuss something else that you found, and that is process discipline is not always there in the case of innovation. And I guess it's hard to make that bridge between innovation and process discipline because you think of process discipline as applied to the way we do things here, so to almost prevent innovation.
Well, that's an actual easy one to address. What we found in our research was that there are actually a lot of people who see the value of innovation. That was across the board. And there were a lot of people with good ideas. But the process discipline comes in how you actually identify, select, and then nurture those ideas. So back to what Greg was saying with respect to that heroic myth of the individual who's developing innovation by themselves. It's actually a team approach and requires top cover. It requires a proper ability to allocate the resources and bring these innovations to fruition. And that's what we meant by the process discipline, not the stymieing of these of innovation. In fact, at the operation level, we think that it should be actually a much lower bar to be able to enable these things in. It's the strategic initiatives, the one that will carry across the agency, that require this process discipline to surface them and bring them across the entire agency.
And I think a good example of that happened at the Peace Corps. Now, I've had that story on this show a couple of years ago, or maybe a year and a half ago, but why don't you describe what happened at Peace Corps with respect to innovation of an old process that really resulted in some dramatic results? Jim?
At Peace Corps, what Doreen Andrews had done was they had just gotten through a rather tough report from the Office of the Inspector General. What it had found was they were lacking in IT governance processes. It was taking too long to be able to do things. So she had actually brought in a new project called GRID, which was taking the perspective of, instead of fielding parts and sending them out to the various field stations in the regions, they would actually build something centrally. They'd deliver product instead of parts, instead of pieces. Have it shipped to the location, train up the station location IT personnel, and then have everything transferred over the wire so they can test it then. Now, it reduce some of the individual flexibility at the various locations, but actually cut their delivery cycle for all of their delivery regions from 3 years down to 18 months. So cut it in half, reduce the costs, reduce the overhead from the number of individuals required to support it. It was a fantastic initiative on her part, executed very well by the Peace Corps.
We're speaking with Greg Dawson. He's senior faculty associate at the School of Public Affairs at Arizona State University. And Jim Denford is the head of the Department of Management and Economics at the Royal Military College of Canada. And so we know now that innovation can happen with the right circumstances, the right processes. And you've got some recommendations for agencies to foster innovation. Let's go over some of those. Jim.
Well, if we think about the first ones, we talked about how the agency heads should be involving key participants within the organization. That specifically addresses that first one, that not everyone can be involved. That really falls down to an agency head responsibility to be able to do that. After that, the CIOs start kicking in and starting looking at what level of innovation is actually needed within the organization. What is their level of maturity, and how can they improve the maturity of their processes in it? Then they need to formalize the process. It comes back then, though, to the agency head to be able to actually foster that culture of innovation, which allows people to, as Darren Ash Bruce said, fail fast within the organization. But again, tolerate that learning experience. And then finally, the CIOs need to be able to set the performance metrics required to be able to make sure you're getting the appropriate returns on those investments. Those are the five things that we came up with for recommendations.
And what's your take on the 18F group that's been so widely touted from the GSA as a way of almost forming an innovative group in one place and exporting it, if you will, or making it available for use by other groups throughout the government?
You know, we're Tyrone Grandison, who used to be part of the TIF program. He called groups like TIF and 18F, I think his term was outside irritants. And his concept of the groups was that, like you need a grain of sand inside an oyster in order to create a pearl. You need some sort of outside irritant to come into the agency and suggest new ways of doing things. And, you know, in our perspective, these groups serve a really, really valuable purpose. You know, they're not locked in with the current way of doing things, and they can come in and look at things from a very, very new and very fresh perspective that, you know, maybe the agency hadn't thought of, or maybe the agency just didn't have enough breadth of experience to realize that there are some other ways of doing it. So we're big fans of it.
And maybe they should have an award for the top irritant of the year or something. I haven't seen that one. But what about contractors? Sometimes they're kind of got their nose to the glass looking in. Can they have a role in agency innovation?
Yeah. We also think that certainly contractors have are perceived differently in different parts of government. On the one hand, there are certain contractors that have a vested interest in making sure that the status quo stays in place. Right, they've a lot of people made their careers in terms of doing things a certain way. However, you know, while that certainly exists, outside consultants, and Jim and I were both outside consultants for many, many years before becoming academics. Outside consultants can bring a perspective from different countries, from state, city, local government that maybe people in the federal government just haven't seen before. So I think outside consultants can really bring a lot of value. They've got to be managed, and we've got to make sure that they're not feathering their own nests. But, you know, they're an integral part of what we refer to as the ecosystem of innovation.
Jim.
So part of that as well is if we look at some of the innovations that have been done. I mean, you mentioned 18F as being a new organization which is designed to help these issues. That's actually a structural innovation. So 18F, U.S. Digital Services, the Presidential Innovation Fellow Programs, these are all structural innovations. But at the same time, we've started to see, and we noticed in our research, process innovations going on as well. Now, that contractor piece actually falls into that. With the implementation of the Agile Delivery Blanket Procurement Agreement, that's a really good mechanism for engaging these outside experts to be able to do that. Fatera is also going to be a tremendous tool to be able to move forward quickly and to be able to engage the appropriate people from the outside of the institution as well. with its reforms. And finally, the other way, we already mentioned the PIF program. That's great for bringing real experts in from the outside into the organization to be able to advise on these six-month periods. There's been some great success stories in that area as well.
And so a final question, how can innovation carry over from one administration to the next? And this is something that agencies are going to be facing in a year with all the political leadership switching. Greg?
It's going to be a challenge. Certainly President Obama has been a strong, strong, strong supporter of innovation, and I think that that ripples through the entire federal government. It's kind of hard to be against innovation. So I think that whoever is going to be our next president is going to see the value in innovation, and it's going to see the value in continuing to build on the successes of innovation from the current administration. You know, not that there's not necessarily going to be some changes, but what we're seeing is innovation is being so baked into the culture of agency leadership and management. And while some of these, you know, while some of the people are going to change, I think that it's now baked into the culture.
Jim?
I'd also note that some of the actual initiatives which are being discussed right now also actually took place within the previous initiative. So the Recompetition Act, for example, that was re-upped, I think, in 2010, actually started with President Bush, George W. Bush. So I think administration to administration, there is a push for efficiency, there is a push for effectiveness, there is a push for innovation. So I think it'll continue. If it's exactly the same form, we don't know. But we do know that there is a requirement always within government to be innovative to better serve the citizenry.
Jim Denford heads the Management and Economics Department at the Royal Military College of Canada. Greg Dawson is Senior Faculty Associate in the School for Public Affairs at Arizona State. Find a link to their report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click Share with Friends.